بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، the author he says رحمه الله باب قول الله تعالى فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون. The author he mentioned the chapter which is entitled The Statement of Allah the Most High, and do not set up rivals with Allah while you know. Do not set up rivals, partners, and peers along with Allah while you know. This is a portion of a verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, the end of a verse of Surah Al-Baqarah. And this verse and the verse before it are from the beautiful verses clarifying the beauty of the Quran and the great obligation of it, Tawheed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he began his book by clarifying the characteristics and attributes of the people, and by mentioning the categories of mankind, beginning with the best of mankind, and they are the righteous, the people who have correct and sincere faith and belief, and that is displayed inwardly and outwardly, and they are al-mu'minun, the true believers. And then likewise, on the contrary, after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he clarified some of the traits of those who have denied and rejected faith entirely, inwardly and outwardly, and they are al-kafirun, the disbelievers. And then the third category that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he mentioned in the beginning of his book are those who have displayed outwardly the faith, but inwardly they have concealed disbelief. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And they are al-munafiqun, the hypocrites. And then after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he addresses all of mankind, and he calls all of mankind to single him out alone and worship. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this time now he says, O mankind, worship your Lord, worship your Rabb, the one who has created you and who has created those before you, so that you may be righteous, so that you may have piety, so that you may fear him by believing in him and obeying him and hoping for his reward, and by staying away from his prohibitions and fearing his punishment. Ya ayyuha an-nas, O mankind, u'budu rabbakum, worship your Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies again why mankind should worship their Lord and no one else. Alladhi khalaqakum, because he is the one who has created you. Walladhina min qablikum, and likewise he has created those before you. So therefore, the one who has created mankind, then he is the true God, and he is the true Lord, and he is the only one who is worthy of worship and deserving of worship, because he is the creator and provider and sustainer of mankind. And if a person were to ask himself, what is the first commandment in the book of Allah, and where is the first order in the noble Quran, it would be in this verse here. A person, he could read and turn the pages of the Quran from the beginning of Al-Fatiha, searching for the first commandment, and this is where he will find that affair here in the statement of Allah, U'budu Rabbakum, and it's addressed to all mankind. All mankind, worship your Lord. So the first commandment in the book of Allah is a commandment. Alhamdulillah. Yahdikum Allah wa sallam. It is a commandment to single out Allah alone in worship, meaning a commandment for Tawheed, a commandment for Tawheed. After this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues this context, clarifying why he is the one who is worthy of worship. الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. جزاك الله خير. Allah, he says, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً وَأَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون. And this is the portion the author he is using as an evidence. Allah, he mentions, he is the one who has made the earth spread out for you, and he has made the sky built strong. الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء والسماء بناء. And he has made the heavens as a canopy strong above you, and has sent down rain from the sky, and has sent down rain from the sky and brought out many different types of fruits as a provision for you, as a provision for you. So therefore, do not set up any rivals with Allah and worship all you know. So therefore, do not set up any rivals with Allah, or partners or peers or associates with Allah, while you know. Meaning while you know that it is Allah who has created you and created those before you. And while you know that it is Allah who has created the heavens and the earth and made it vast and spread out and has furnished everything therein, from the plants and the trees and the animals and the fish and the waters and the likes like this, and the rivers and the streams and the seas, and the great provision and benefits that come from this creation for the human being. And likewise, while you know that Allah, He has created the sky and made it strong and firm, and it's beautiful, and likewise a means of protection for the people on earth. And while you know that it is Allah alone who brings the water that is so beneficial for life in this world and life on earth, He is the one alone who sends that from the sky. And then realizing likewise that all of this is a provision for mankind to use, a provision for mankind to use in order to fulfill their purpose in life, and that is to worship Allah alone. So while you know these affairs, do not associate partners with Allah. While you know that He is the creator, that He is the provider, that He is the sustainer alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. So originally this verse here is in refutation of the mushrikun, clarifying the fact that they confess and they realize and understand and believe that Allah, He is the creator and provider and sustainer. But along with that, they associate partners with Him. So Allah is clarifying to not do that, that this is not permissible and not allowed, nor is it proper, nor is it from the sound intellect, that Allah Azza wa Jal, He would be the creator and the provider and sustainer of all things. And then along with that, they would confess that and realize that and admit that and believe in that. And then they would show thanks to other than Him. And they would direct the worship, which is the right of Allah, to other than Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, while they know these affairs. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. So in this verse here in the end, the portion that the author is using as an evidence likewise is an answer to another question. And that is, what is the first prohibition in the Qur'an? What is the first prohibition in the Qur'an? We have seen that the first commandment in the Qur'an was in the statement of Allah, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, which is in the verse before this verse. O mankind, worship your Lord. Worship your Lord, the commandment for Tawheed. And then if we continue reading until the end of the next verse here, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. And therefore, also therefore, do not set up rivals or peers or partners, associates with Allah in worship. So this is the first prohibition likewise. So therefore, the first commandment is the commandment for Tawheed. The first commandment in the book of Allah is the commandment for at-tawheed, and the first prohibition is the prohibition of ash-shirk. And this is here in Surah Al-Baqarah in the beginning. This is something to ponder and to reflect upon. Even if one were to see what is the first verb, the action word, the first action word in the Quran, what was na'budu. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. The first action word, the first verb, the first fi'l in the Quran is with regards to worship and singling out that alone for Allah. إياك نعبد. You alone do we worship. You alone do we worship. And this is from the beauty of the Quran and how it affirms and establishes it tawheed from many different aspects. And so this is from those aspects. But the author, he's mentioning now this chapter here after mentioning the chapter related to the bounties and blessings of Allah, and that it's incumbent to ascribe them to Allah alone, and that from the perfection and the completion And the obligation of it, Tawheed, is that the favors and the bounties and the blessings are ascribed to Allah alone, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who provides them. So every bounty and blessing and every favor and every good that one experiences in this life, this is from Allah. And every safety and removal of harm and difficulty that one has, this is from Allah. And it's incumbent to realize that and to confess that, to realize that and to confess that and to believe that, and likewise to strive to use those favors and blessings in the pleasure of Allah and to not use them in the disobedience of Allah. And this has proceeded in the previous chapter. But likewise, along with that, and this is in general, that the blessings, they must be ascribed to Allah. That one, he must thank Allah with his tongue and his heart, and likewise his body parts. But here the author is clarifying some of those issues that are related to the tongue specifically. The issues and obligations of Tawheed that are related to the tongue specifically. That one, he will ascribe those blessings to Allah, meaning he believes that in his heart, and likewise on his tongue, he professes that outwardly. And then he will apply that in the best manner. Here in this chapter is a continuation of that. And there are some statements and some expressions that some of the people have accustomed themselves to, that in reality they're contrary to Tawheed. That in reality they're contrary to Tawheed. So the author, he's clarifying these affairs. He's clarifying these affairs. And he's mentioning this general evidence here. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. So do not set up rivals along with Allah. So here we have a prohibition. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا. The la here is nahiyah. This is the la of prohibition. So here we have the context of prohibition. And that which is being prohibited is setting up andadan. And the word andad is here nakira. It is indefinite. It is indefinite. So in a word that is indefinite in the context of a prohibition, the people of knowledge have mentioned this, indicates generality. Any meaning, it's inclusive. Do not set up any rival or partner with Allah whatsoever. Not by attaching one's heart to that with love and fear and hope, and not by prostrating before that or giving it any or seeking refuge with that or calling on that, any aspect, or even with regards to the statements and ascribing some of the blessings to other than Allah and the likes like this, or connecting or making equal some of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with something from the creation, even if a person did not intend that in his heart, that he should not use the likes of those statements. All of this is included here. And all of this is something that the Salaf, they understood. And they used to use the evidences of the Quran that are prohibiting major shirk to understand likewise the prohibition of minor shirk. The evidences in the Quran that clarify the prohibition of major shirk, they would use those evidences likewise and understand from them as well the prohibition of minor shirk. So what is included here directly in this verse, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. So do not set up partners or rivals or associates with Allah. What is intended first and foremost is major shirk that the Quraysh was upon in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But also understood from that, if major shirk is negated or if major shirk is prohibited, then likewise minor shirk as well is prohibited. And this is what the author is referring to now. So he says, قَالِ ابْنُ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا فِي الْآيَةِ الْأَنْدَادِ هُوَ الشِّرْكُ أَخْفَى مِنْ دَبِيبِ النَّمَلِ عَلَى صَفَاتٍ سَوْدَاءِ فِي ظُلْمَةِ اللَّيْلِ وَهُوَ أَنْ تَقُولَ وَاللَّهِ وَحَيَاتِكَ يَا فُلَانَ وَحَيَاتِي وَتَقُولَ لَوْلَا كَلْبَةُ هَذَا لَأَتَانَا اللُّسُوسُ ولولا البط في الدار لأتى اللصوص وقول الرجل لصاحبه ما شاء الله وشئته وقول الرجل لولا الله وفلان لا تجعل فيها فلانا هذا كله به شرك رواه ابن أبي حاتم. So the author, he mentioned now the interpretation of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma of this verse here. So it is known that Ibn Abbas, from his well-known titles, or the laqab, Turjuman al-Qur'an, he is the one who is the interpreter of the Qur'an, and from the most knowledgeable of the interpretation of the Book of Allah. So he's mentioning, radiallahu anhu, with regards to this verse, al-andad, the interpretation of the word andad. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. He says, al-andad, the word which is the plural of nid. The people of knowledge, they mentioned the nid is a is a shabih or a nadhir or a mathil or a al-musawi, someone that is a rival or a peer, or someone that is considered an equal. You call him a nid. And to set up a nid is called a tandid in the Arabic language. And this is the prohibition. The prohibition from any type of tandid in setting up a rival or a peer or making anyone from the creation equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that which is specific to him. And that which is specific to him. Any in his lordship or even in his lordship or in his worship or in his beautiful names and attributes or any of his rights subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn Abbas, and he says that, and that it is a shirk. And this is what is intended. Do not set up rivals or associates or partners or equals with Allah Azza wa Jalla in worship, meaning do not commit shirk. And this is the interpretation of the meaning and what is intended. But now Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he likewise clarifies another aspect of that. He says, أَخْفَى مِنْ دَبِيبٍ النَّمِلْ عَلَى صَفَاتٍ سَوْدَاءَ فِي ظُلْمَةِ اللَّيْلِ. And it is shirk, and the andan that you should not set up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. This is more hidden than the crawling of an ant on a smooth black rock in the darkness of the night. In the darkness of the night. And this is the description of the shirk that's being referred to here. And in his interpretation, this is one aspect of the interpretation and that he's referring to, radiallahu anhu, that it is shirk, setting up rivals with Allah, setting up partners with Allah in worship, making equals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rights that are specific to him. It is shirk. And that is something that is more hidden than the crawling of an ant. Whenever that ant is crawling on a smooth black stone, and this occurs in the middle of the pitch dark night. And no doubt this is something that is very hidden. And the fact that there will be an ant crawling, this is already something that is hidden and hard to identify. And this one, he's paying attention or he's looking for that. And likewise, the crawling of the ant, and the trace that the ant leaves behind, any of the steps and the likes like this. This cannot be seen. It's something that cannot be seen or can hardly or rarely be seen already alone. And likewise, the sound that the ant makes whenever it crawls. All of this affair is very difficult to hear, to see and to hear. The walking of the ant or the crawling of the ant. You cannot hear it and you cannot see it. This is something that's very difficult. Then if it's on top of that, he's crawling on a smooth black stone. On a smooth black stone. And then this is likewise occurring in the pitch dark night. Again, this is even harder and harder to see and to hear. And even more difficult and more difficult to identify. It's something that's very hidden. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he's saying this is the case of this type of shirk. That there's a type of shirk and a type of rival and partner that is set up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hearts of the people. And it's occurring in this manner, likewise on the tongues of the people. That's occurring in this manner that's very hidden. That many people, they fall into it and they do not know it. They do not know it because of how hidden it is in this manner. And then he says, and it is that you say, I swear by Allah and the life and your life, O so-and-so. I swear by Allah and your life, O so-and-so. Wallahi wa hayatiki ya fulana. I swear by Allah and your life, O so-and-so. Wa hayati. Or by my life. You will say, Wallahi wa hayati. I swear by Allah and by my life. And using the word and here. And using the wow. Wallahi wa hayatiki. Wa hayatika. Wallahi wa hayati. Like this. I swear by Allah and by my life. I swear by Allah and by your life. Like this. This is what is he's mentioning here. وَتَقُولَ لَوْ لَا كَلْبَةُ هَذَا لَا تَنَى اللُّسُوسُ. Or likewise, the shirk here that is hidden in this manner is that one will say, if it had not been for the dog of so-and-so, the robbers would have gotten us. The robbers would have come and robbed us. If it had not been for the dog of so-and-so, then the robbers they would have, then the thieves that would have stolen and ripped us off and robbed us. The thieves, they would have robbed us. And this is the meaning of that. وَلَوْلَا الْبَطُّ فِي الدَّارِ لَتَى الْلُسُوسِ. Had it not been for the duck in the house, then the thieves, they would have came. The thieves, they would have came. And some people, they will have a dog for guarding purposes and the likes. And others, before, they would have ducks as well in the same manner. And if a stranger were to come into the property, the dog will bark and identify that there's a stranger there, or the dog would bark and let the people know. Or likewise, the duck, if it's seen a stranger as well, it would make the noise and quack out loud. And the likes like this, and therefore the people, they will know that there's a stranger on the property. The people, they will know that there's a stranger on the property. So here, this is from shirk, is what he's saying. The fact that one would say, this affair, had it not been for the dog of so-and-so, or had it not been for the duck in the house, we would have been robbed. We would have been robbed. Describing this, yani to the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, the means of that dog being there to scare away the thieves, or the duck being there likewise to scare away the thieves, yani exposing the fact that they're there, exposing their presence to the people in the home, so therefore fleeing and running away and not being able to rob them. This is a means that Allah has established, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who bestows the favor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who created the duck and the dog. And He is the one who has caused these circumstances to befall in this manner, and made these affairs beneficial for the people in the home. And He is the one who has protected them, not the dog and not the duck. Not the dog and not the duck. These are simply means. So therefore, this should be ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And by forgetting Allah, the one who has decreed these affairs, the one who has created these affairs and decreed these affairs, and ascribing that to the means, this is in reality a type of shirk. So he says, وَقَوْلُ الرَّجُلِ لِصَاحِبِهِ. And likewise, that one, he will say to a man, he will say to his companion, whatever Allah wills and you will. مَشَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشِئْتَ. Whatever Allah wills and you will. To say it in this manner like this. مَشَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشِئْتَ. The author, he has a chapter specifically with this topic here that will come. We will take it in detail, inshaAllah. But here we have the fact that one, he would make equals with Allah in the will of Allah. مَشَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشِئْتَ. Whatever Allah wills and you, and whatever you will. Like this, making the will of Allah equal to the will of that person. Making the will of Allah equal to the will of that person. We will see that, inshaAllah, a person, if he said that and believed that, this is major shirk. If he said that and believed that, this is major shirk. But if he just said that off his tongue like this, he didn't believe that the will of Allah and the will of the man is equal. And the man, he has a will equal to the will of Allah. Rather, he believes that the will of the human being is following behind the will of Allah and under the command of Allah, then this is shirk asgar. And this is the case with all of these statements here. That if a person, he believed and he had decreed of these affairs, believing that these means, they have the ability to benefit alone without the will of Allah, then this is a major disbelief and major shirk. But just to say that and to ascribe that to the means in this manner while believing that Allah, He is the one who has authority and is in charge and in control of the affairs, then this is minor shirk. And this is the point of the author to clarify that just as the heart, it must be purified from all aspects of shirk, likewise the tongue has to be purified as well from all aspects of shirk, even if the heart did not mean what he has stated. Even if he did not believe in what that statement necessitates or requires, the tongue likewise should be purified from every aspect of shirk or every deficiency that could be brought to tawheed in this manner. Likewise, he says, radiallahu anhu, is the statement of a man, he will say, that if it was not for Allah and so-and-so, if it was not for Allah and so-and-so, any of this would have happened or that would have happened. Had it not been for Allah and so-and-so, again, any of the word and here is being used, any of the wow in the Arabic language. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he says, so do not say fulan. Do not say fulan. Meaning you say lawla Allahu wahda. Like this, wa masha Allahu wahda. You say whatever Allah wills alone. Wa had it not been for Allah alone. You don't say had it not been for Allah and so and so. You don't say hey, whatever Allah wills and what so and so wills. You say, he says here, لا تجعل فيها فلان. Do not put فلان there. You don't mention him. You don't couple the mention of so and so here. Rather, you sing about Allah alone in this affair. If it had not been for Allah, this and that would have happened. if it had not been for the favor of Allah, for the bounty of Allah, for the blessing of Allah, for the aid of Allah, for the help of Allah, like this, then such and such would have happened, or such and such would have occurred. So one, he would not say, had it not been for Allah and so and so. Had it not been for Allah and so and so. Like, this is from shirk. If he believed that so and so he had a share in that alone, then this would be major shirk. But the majority of the time, people, they say that and they don't believe that or mean that. There are statements that they're saying on their tongue, but these statements, they bring deficiency to the tawheed, and they're not allowed and they're not permissible, and it's considered minor shirk. So Ibn Abbas, he says, هَذَا كُلُّهُ بِهِ shirk. All of this here, the one who says that, is considered to have fallen into shirk. Every one of these aspects here, had it not been for the one that one, what he would say, I swear by Allah and by your life, or I swear by Allah and by my life, and in his oath, in his swearing, this is considered shirk. And likewise, the statement, if it had not been for the dog of so and so, we would have been robbed. If it not had been for the duck in the house, we would have been robbed. Likewise, what we have today, like the means, the security, had it not been for the security system, we would have been robbed. Had it not been for the phone, for the 911 quick response, we would have been this and that would have happened, or this and that would have occurred. All of this is any from the same understanding. These are just examples of that affair. Or the statement of a person, whatever Allah wills and whatever you will. Whatever Allah wills and whatever you will. And these are statements that many of the people, they fall into. Many of the Muslims, and this is the point of the author to clarify. Some people may not realize this, and they state these words, or they state the likes of these words. So this is incumbent to learn and to realize and to avoid and to stay away from and to purify the tongue from this. Even if a person, he did not believe it in his heart, the tongue, it must be purified from this. I heard with my own ears before someone say this. And if they mentioned it to me myself, they said, MashaAllahu wa shi'ta. I said, SubhanAllah. Whatever Allah wills and you will. I said, La ilaha, and the person, he's a Muslim. And he has the likes of this statement. He didn't mean that doesn't believe that the individual, he has a will outside of the will of Allah. But this is a statement that occurs on the tongue. Some people, they will say, and maybe they think that they're respecting a person or honoring a person, but in reality, they are falling into shirk. They're falling into a type of shirk and the likes. And this is not allowed and not permissible. The same thing happened with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, and he became angry. He said, "Bal ma ajaltani lillahi niddan, bal ma sha Allahu wahda." Did you make a rival? Did you make me a rival with Allah? Rather, whatever Allah wills alone. So the likes like this, a person, he must clarify that affair. And or somebody would say, if it had not been for so and so, if it had not been for Allah and so and so, all of this is considered shirk. All of this is considered shirk. This is the point of the author. So a person, he must avoid these affairs. After this, he says, وَعَنْ عُمَرِ بِنِ الْخَطَابِ وَعَنْ عُمَرِ ابْنِ الْخَطَابِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ قَالَ مَنْ حَلَفَ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ أَوْ أَشْرَكَ رَوَاهُ التِّرْمِذِيُّ وَحَسَنَهُ وَصَحَّحَهُ الْحَاكِمُ. He mentioned here also, and from the narration of Umar ibn al-Khattabi رضي الله عنه. What is correct, and the people of knowledge have mentioned that this is actually the narration of Ibn Umar. And Allah knows best in this text here, the word Ibn had been deleted or had fallen off and the likes like this. But what is found in this narration in At-Tirmidhi and the likes is An Ibn Umar, Ibn al-Khattabi radiallahu anhuma. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that whoever swears by other than Allah, then verily he has disbelieved or committed shirk. Then verily he has disbelieved or committed shirk. In some wording has come, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ وَأَشْرَكَ, that he has disbelieved and committed shirk. And the meaning is very similar. That he has disbelieved in this manner or committed shirk. That whoever swears by other than Allah, this is his case. This narration, the author, he says, is narrated by At-Tirmidhi, and he has declared it to be Hasan. And also it has been narrated by the Hakim, and he has declared it to be authentic. So likewise, this is from the shirk that occurs on the tongue. This is from the shirk that occurs on the tongue. The origin is that it is minor shirk. If a person, he were just to swear by other than Allah, to swear by other than Allah in this manner while he believes that Allah is the greatest and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his majesty is the most lofty and high, and he praises and glorifies Allah above everything, but he swore by other than Allah in this manner, this is considered minor shirk. But if a person were to praise and to glorify the one he's swearing by in the manner that he glorifies and praises Allah, or greater than that, then this is major shirk. This is major shirk. And this is something that has been, and he mentioned about the people who are attached to the graves and to the awliya and the likes like this, that one of them, he will swear by Allah and he will lie. But if he swears by the wali, he will not lie. Or even he will swear by Allah in the masjid, for example, and he will lie. If you ask him to swear by Allah about something in the masjid, one of them, he will lie even in the masjid. But if you tell him to swear by Allah while he's standing at the grave, he will not lie there. He will not lie there. Even if he's in both circumstances, he's swearing by Allah. In the masjid, in the house of Allah, he will lie. It's easy for him. But if he's standing at the grave of the wali, the so-called wali, and the likes like this, and you tell him to swear by Allah, then he will not lie. He will not be able to lie and swear by Allah out of fear of the wali, out of reverence of the wali, in this manner like this. Or if you tell him to swear by Allah, he will swear by Allah, and then he will lie. But if you tell him to swear by so-and-so, the wali so-and-so, he will not do it. And it's been mentioned that some of them, they will catch their friends or their people in a lie like this, in the likes of in some of those lands, that one of them, he will swear by Allah, and he will lie. And then they will tell him, swear by the wali, and he won't do it. And to swear by the wali is haram, and to ask one to swear by the wali is haram likewise. To swear by the wali, if a person, he did that, and while praising and glorifying Allah in the manner proper, then this is minor shirk. And to ask him to do that is minor shirk. But if he were to swear by the wali in this manner, where he's magnifying him and he fears him and honors and reveres him more than Allah, this is major shirk waliyadhu billah. This is major shirk waliyadhu billah. But here the point of the author is to clarify the fact that this is minor shirk, and this is something that occurs on the tongue. Some people, they'll swear by other than Allah. They swear by the Kaaba, or they swear by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or they'll swear by their self, or they'll swear by their father, or they'll swear by their mother, or they'll swear by the honor or the likes like this. Different things. All of this is impermissible and haram, and considered from minor shirk. وَقَالَ إِبْنُ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. And in all the author, he mentions that Ibn Mas'ud, he mentioned رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ لَأَنْ أَحْرِفَ بِاللَّهِ كَاذِبًا أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَحْرِفَ بِغَيْرِهِ صَادِقًا. That Ibn Mas'ud رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, in his great understanding and fiqh in the religion, he said, the fact that I will swear by Allah and lie is more beloved to me than swearing by other than Allah while telling the truth. First, we must understand the intent of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that he knows, no doubt, that both of these affairs are major. That both of these affairs are major, and from the lowly and foul ways. And this is not to lighten the affair of lying, but rather to clarify the dangers of shirk. Rather to clarify the severity and the dangers of shirk. So no doubt lying is from the lowly traits and from the traits of the hypocrites, and is from the worst of all characteristics, that a person, he will lie and be dishonest in his statements or even in his action. And the worst of lying and the worst of that affair is to lie in one's faith. Waliyadhu billah. But the point here is to clarify the danger and the severity of shirk. So it says, the fact that I will lie, the fact that I will swear by Allah and lie, this is more beloved to me and more preferable to me than to swear by other than Allah while telling the truth. Than to swear by other than Allah while telling the truth. So we have a number of affairs here. First, we have swearing by Allah. And we have telling the truth. Both of these are good deeds. To swear by Allah and to tell the truth, both of these are good and noble deeds. And we have swearing by other than Allah, and we have lying. Swearing by other than Allah, and we have lying. And both of these are foul deeds. Both of these are impermissible and from the worst of actions, to swear by other than Allah and to lie. So which one is greater, to swear by Allah or to tell the truth? Which one has a higher status and rank? Swearing by Allah. Swearing by Allah. Yani, these are both good deeds. This is both good deeds. And you have two bad deeds. Which one is worse? You have swearing by other than Allah and lying. Which one is worse? Swearing by other than Allah. So this is the point here. So to swear by Allah along with lying, or to swear by other than Allah along with telling the truth, which one is more severe? The second one is worse. Why? Because which one is more severe? To swear by other than Allah or to lie? To swear by other than Allah is more severe. So the sin and the danger of swearing by other than Allah is greater than the sin and the danger of lying. So the one who swears by Allah and lies, no doubt this is a major sin. This is a foul in a bad way. But it's lesser than swearing by other than Allah, even if someone told the truth. But it's lesser than swearing by other than Allah, even if someone told the truth. So swearing by other than Allah, even if someone is truthful, is more severe. Is more severe and is a greater sin. And is a greater sin than swearing by Allah while lying. The swearing by Allah while lying. So to single it out, any lying is lesser than swearing by other than Allah. Swearing by other than Allah is greater than lying. Is greater than lying. Even if someone were to swear by Allah doing that. So to swear by Allah and lie is a major sin. It's called al-yamin al-ghamus. Al-yamin al-ghamus. Al-ghamus, something that is ghamus, is something that's dipped in something. And they say, لِأَنَّهَا تَغْمِسُ صَاحِبَهُ فِي النَّارِ. The yamin, al-yamin al-ghamus, is called the yamin, the lying, the oath in this manner, because it drowns a person in the fire. It will cause a person to be engulfed in the flame. It will cause a person to be engulfed in the flame. The one who swears by Allah and lies. So this is a major sin. This is a foul in a bad way. But even with the greatness and the severity of this sin, it's lesser than swearing by other than Allah. It's lesser than swearing by other than Allah, even if someone was truthful. Because lying is a major sin, and swearing by other than Allah is shirk. It's minor shirk, but it's still shirk. So the severity of the sins, and the worst of all of them, is shirk. And then after that, in severity, minor shirk. And then after that is bid'ah, innovation. And then after that are sins, major sins and then minor sins. So at the worst of all deeds is shirk, major shirk. After that, in severity, minor shirk. And then after that, innovation. And then after that, the sins, major sins and minor sins. So lying, swearing by Allah while lying is a major sin, but it's lesser than minor shirk. It's a major sin, but it's lesser in severity than minor shirk. So Ibn Mas'ud is not trying to, radiallahu anhu, belittle the fact of lying, to belittle swearing by Allah and lying. No, that's not the point. The point is to clarify the severity of shirk by swearing by other than Allah. We see the point now. This is very important, to be able to identify evils and to know which one is worse and more severe. Some people maybe will say he swears by the Prophet. He say, Wal Nabi this and Wal Nabi that. Wal Nabi, I did this and I did that. Wal Nabi. Oh, what Kaaba? He swear by the Kaaba. Oh, whatever he swears by. Whatever he swears by. Some of them swear by the head of his father and the likes like this. And so on and so forth. So somebody, you tell him that he swears by these different things, or whatever he's swearing by, then you tell him that this is minor shirk. Don't do that, this is minor shirk. So then he'll hear the word minor. This is hadha shirkun asgar. So he'll hear that, oh, this is minor shirk, so then he'll think that it's something light. But the point here is to clarify that it's not something light, even though it's considered minor. So some people, whenever they hear, oh, this is minor shirk, they'll be like, oh, in their heart, oh, it's minor. It's not major shirk. It's only something little. It's the small shirk. It's not the big shirk. It's the minor shirk. It's not the major shirk. So therefore, he will belittle that in his heart or in his mind. He will not realize the severity of that. But here in the likes of this narration from Ibn Mas'ud and radiallahu anhu, this clarifies any of the severity of that. Although it's considered minor shirk is from the most severe and worst of all deeds, and is greater than lying. Even if somebody swore by Allah while lying. So this is a point here. Any of the issue of swearing by other than Allah, or swearing in general. Somebody who will swear in order to emphasize his statement. Somebody who will say, for example, he owed some money. He said, I paid you back. He said, you didn't pay me back. What now is he going to say to emphasize that he paid him back? He's going to swear, Wallahi, I paid you back. So he will emphasize his statement by swearing. So that's what swearing is, to emphasize the statement. And in order to emphasize a statement, somebody will bring something that he considers great, and he'll swear by that thing. So this is the point of swearing, to emphasize his statement. And to clarify the emphasis, he will swear by something that's great in his heart and in the heart of the one he's swearing to. So therefore, a believer, he's only allowed to swear by Allah, because the greatest thing that could be in the heart of a believer is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, it's only allowed to swear by Allah. So sometimes a person, he will not suffice with that. He will swear by something else. He will swear by something else besides Allah. So if that something else besides Allah in his heart is as great as he is great as Allah or greater, then this is major shirk. If he's swearing by that thing, but it not in that manner. Now Allah, he is greatest. Allah, he is the greatest, and the likes like this in his heart, but he's swearing by the other thing in this manner, then this is minor shirk. So this is the ruling.
The point now is you talk to somebody. You wanna make so to know what he says is true. He says, I swear, flan, and he says, stop this. That's his silver asqa. And he keep on doing it. He not stop. He said, stop. Then he keep on doing it. Over and over.
No. Whatever is in his heart. If he's doing that because of what he believes, then yes, it's shirk akbar. If he's doing that because this is something he's accustomed his tongue to, this is shirk al-asghar. This is what the author is mentioning, yani, that there are statements that people that run on the people's tongues. And sometimes they don't pay attention. It's been mentioned likewise, Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, he mentioned, Hafidhullah, that there was a person he's always swearing by the Prophet, one Nabi. So he sit there and he clarified to him that this is not allowed. And he mentioned the evidence, he mentioned the proof, until the man understand himself. And he agreed he's not going to swear by the Prophet, by anyone except for Allah. You know what he said? He said, wouldn't that be, I'll never swear by anyone but Allah. He's convinced, he believes, he knows it's wrong, he doesn't want to do it again, but because his tongue is accustomed, he did it anyways, saying he's not going to do it like this. Yani, so it's something that some people, they'll say that. And likewise, in the times of Jahiliyyah, they used to swear by their fathers. So even after the prohibition came, some of them, they would continue to do that, but they didn't mean it. It come on their tongue. It will come on their tongue, and in their heart, they don't mean it. So this is the point here. Many people, they say the likes of these words, and they don't actually mean it. If you clarify for them the understanding of that statement, they'll say, no, I don't mean that. They don't mean that. If you tell them, oh, mashallah, wa shit, that you can't make me equal to the will of Allah. So whatever Allah wills, I have my will is under the will of Allah. I can't do anything except with the will of Allah. You say, I know that. I didn't mean that. Or if it had not been for the security system, you tell him it's Allah Azza wa Jal who saved us. He said, nah, that's right. The believer in general, a Muslim, he believes that. But these statements, they occur on the tongue of some of the people, and the tongue has to be cleansed from that. This is the point of the author, Rahimahullah. So he's clarifying these affairs, and likewise clarifying this issue here of the severity of swearing by other than Allah. He says, وَأَنْ حُذَيْفَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنُّهُ قَالَ لَا تَقُولُوا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشَاءَ فُلَانَ وَلَكَنْ قُولُوا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ شَاءَ فُلَانَ رَوَاهُ أَبُو دَاوُودَ بِسَنَدٍ صَحِيحٍ. So the author, he mentions now a narration from Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, do not say whatever Allah wills and whatever so-and-so wills, but rather say whatever Allah wills and then whatever so-and-so wills. And it's been narrated by Abu Dawood with an authentic chain. So here we have a solution. So you don't say whatever Allah wills and whatever you will. You say whatever Allah wills, then whatever you will. So the word, the waw in the Arabic language, al-waw tufidu mutlaq al-jama' wa taswiya al-musawat. So whenever you say whatever Allah wills and whatever you will, now you are making the will of Allah equal to the will of that person, or the will of that person equal to the will of Allah. Whatever Allah wills and whatever you will. But whenever you use the word thumma in the Arabic language, the people of knowledge, they mention thumma tufidu at-tartib wa-taraqi. At-tartib wa-taraqi. That arrangement, and also that the one coming after thumma is lesser or behind, coming later, either physically or in status and rank. So here it's in status. So whatever Allah wills, and then after that, whatever you will. So here that's allowed. So that's allowed because it's not making the will of that person equal to the will of Allah. Whatever Allah wills, and then whatever you will. Had it not been for Allah, and then so-and-so, that one's permissible. Had it not been for Allah, meaning the favor of Allah, the bounty of Allah, the blessing of Allah, the help of Allah, the mercy of Allah, and then so-and-so. So here, whenever you say, and then, it's mentioning here, and then is the means, clarifying that the favor and the bounty and the decree is from Allah, and the means for that Allah decreed was so and so, or such and such. This is allowed. So we have, in this manner, one will say, ma sha Allah wa sha'a fulan, or lawla kada wa kada, lawla Allah wa kada wa kada. If it had not been for Allah and so and so, this is not allowed. Whatever Allah wills and whatever so-and-so wills, this is not allowed. And what is best and most proper is to say, ما شاء الله وحده أو لولا الله كذا وكذا. Whatever Allah wills alone. You don't mention anybody else. Like Ibn Abbas, and he said, لا تجعل فيه فلان. Don't mention فلان. You just say, ما شاء الله. لولا الله. You don't mention فلان. You don't mention so-and-so. This is what is best. But it's allowed to say ma sha Allahu thumma fulan, lawla Allahu thumma fulan. This is allowed, but it's better to not do that. You don't have to do that. It's allowed. If you do it, it's permissible. It's not shirk. Alhamdulillah. It's not shirk asgar or akbar. Alhamdulillah. It's allowed. But best to leave off fulan entirely and to say ma sha Allah, or to say lawla Allah. If it had not been for Allah, it was from the favor of Allah. And then if one realizes that from the means that Allah decreed was so-and-so or such-and-such, alhamdulillah, this is allowed. But the favor and the bounty and the decree is for Allah. We understand the point?
But, that's why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took 10 years to teaching people the
Tawheed. Every last detail. Every last detail. Now, so he says, Rahimahullah, Wajaa an Ibrahim al Nakhai. Rahimahullah. Ibrahim al Nakhai, he's from the students of Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, from the Tabi'een. Annahu yukrahu an yakul al Rajulu, a'udhu billahi wa bika. Wa yajuzu an yakula billahi thumma bika. Qala wa yakulu lawla Allahu thumma fulan. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لَوْلَى اللَّهُ وَفُلَانَ. So here Ibrahim al-Nakhai, he mentions that is disliked. The word disliked with regards to the statements of the Tabi'een and the likes, it means that it's haram. It means that it's haram. If we see the word karaha and the statement of the early generation, what is intended here is that it is haram and impermissible. So this is what he's mentioning. Ibrahim al-Nakhai, rahimahullah, mentioning that it's impermissible for a man to say, I seek refuge with Allah and you. And it's permissible to say, with Allah, then you. It's impermissible to say, I seek refuge with Allah and you. But it's permissible to say, I seek refuge with Allah, then you. Or it's to say, if it's not for Allah, if it had not been for Allah, then so-and-so. This is allowed. And do not say, if it had not been for Allah and so-and-so. So I hear to use the word thumma in place of waw, in place of the waw. I need to say and then instead of saying and. Because when you say and, you're coupling and making equal the person or the creation with Allah. Whenever you say then, this is meaning that the will of Allah or the greatness and majesty of Allah or the right of Allah is said and realized, and then following behind that is the means that is mentioned here. This is allowed. So here we know that al-istiadha, seeking refuge, is a statement that is done outwardly, likewise inside in the heart. And it is something that the heart will seek refuge with Allah and flee to Allah, hoping in Allah and hoping for His protection and His help. So this is a worship that must be for Allah alone. So when he cannot say, I seek refuge with Allah and you, but it's okay to say, I seek refuge with Allah, then you. Because as we have seen, likewise, it's allowed to seek refuge with the people and something that they're able to do for someone who is alive, someone who is present, and someone who is able to have them help you and to aid you. And the likes like this, for example, somebody, if he has a right to get it back, he will try to find a just judge, a judge who is just, and he will be a means to help protect him from the oppression of the oppressor. And the likes like this. But it is Allah Azza wa Jal who gives the refuge. So therefore, one, he will not say, I seek refuge with Allah and you, because I seek refuge with Allah then you, O judge, from the oppression of this person. This person is striving to oppress me. And the likes like this. And after Allah, there is none but you that can stop him. Like this, because the judge, he has the authority to put it into his oppression and he end the land by the permission of Allah. So therefore it's allowed to say A'udhu billahi thumma bika, like this. This is what he's mentioning here. And also it's allowed to say Lawla Allahu thumma fulan, but you do not say A'udhu billahi wa bika, and you don't say Lawla Allahu wa fulan. The author, he mentioned fihi masail. In this chapter there are issues or benefits. Al-Ula tafsiru ayat al-Baqarah fil Andad. The first benefit is the interpretation of the verse al-Baqarah with regards to the Andad, to the rivals and the peers. And clarifying that although what is intended directly is major shirk, also included in that is minor shirk. And this is from the understanding of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah. Athaniya and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum yufasiruna al-ayata al-nazilata fi shirk al-akbar. بِأَنَّهَا تَعُمُّ الْأَصْغَرُ. The second benefit is that the companions رضي الله عنهم, they interpretate the verses that are revealed with regards to major shirk to also include minor shirk. So if a person seen somebody committing minor shirk, he wouldn't have to bring an evidence specifically for that type of minor shirk, whether he could bring an evidence that is prohibiting shirk in general. And every aspect of shirk is included in that evidence. This is the point, and this is the understanding of the Sahaba. Because Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he's referring here now to these statements. Lawla Allahu wa fulan, wallahi wa hayatik. Like this, all these, masha Allahu wa shitta. He's including all of this in the interpretation. These are all things or affairs that are prohibited in the statement, fala taj'alu lillahi andada. So this is considered setting up a rival and a peer and an equal with Allah by saying whatever Allah wills and whatever you wills, had it not been for Allah and you, or and so, and the likes like this. All of this is considered setting up rivals and peers with Allah Azza wa Jal. Here he's interpreting Shirk al-Asghar. Excuse me? No, he's interpreting Shirk al-Asghar.
Okay.
That's the point.
It comes a long word.
Yeah. That's the point of the author here. Shirk al-Asghar. Shirk al-Akbar is what intended directly. But the Sahaba, they would also understand that it's included in that Shirk al-Asghar. All of these words here that is mentioned in this text by Ibn Abbas, they're all Shirk al-Asghar. All of them are Shirk al-Asghar in the origin, unless a person, he actually believed this false creed. But the point of the author is to clarify that there are statements that occur on the tongue of many of the believers that they do not believe in them themselves, but they say them. So just as the heart has to be purified from every blemish and everything that brings deficiency to Tawheed, likewise, the tongue has to be purified as well. This is the point now, any of this portion of the work. All of these issues here are related to al-alfaz al-shirkiyah, the terms and the statements that are considered from shirk. Al-thalitha and al-halifa bi ghayri lahi shirk. The third benefit is that to swear by other than Allah is shirk. Al-rabi'a annahu idha halatha bi ghayri lahi sadiqan fa huwa akbaru min al-yamin al-ghamus. The fourth benefit is that to swear by other than Allah while telling the truth, to swear by other than Allah while telling the truth is greater than al-yamin al-ghamus, and it is greater than swearing by Allah while lying. Swearing by Allah while lying. Everybody can realize the greatness and the severity of swearing by Allah while lying. Greater than that is to swear by other than Allah, even if one was truthful. Even if one was truthful. Al-khamisa al-farqu bayna al-wawi wa bayna thumma fi al-lafz. And the fifth benefit is the difference between the waw and the thumma in the speech. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. If we can try to save the questions to the end of the class, having questions in the middle of the class sometimes is disturbing, and it makes the class, it has a flow, and there are points and there are issues that should be discussed. And then whenever there's interruptions, then lose the train of thought, and then you forget. And then the class, and he has, for example, especially when you're studying a book, there's a book, the author, he has an intention. And this chapter, there is an intention behind that. In order to try to capture all of that is a bit difficult. But if a person is able to focus, he can give his best effort. But if there's always an interruption and the likes like this, it makes it even more and more difficult. So I prefer that anyone who has a question, to save the question till the end. Write it down, because many times this is a mistake. Likewise, not everything that comes to mind has to be said. And everything that comes to mind has to be said. So sometimes if you just wait, that question that comes to mind is going to be answered. It's actually in the category and the mind of the teacher that point right there is coming next. But if there's interruptions...
You wrote down after class.
Yes, Jazakallah khairah. So if something comes up, write it down briefly, and then in the end, inshallah, ask, or after class, ask. Or if it's something that's controversial, I prefer not to answer in front on the microphone. If it's something that's controversial in the likes like this, then ask after class. Jazakallah khairah. Subhanakallah, wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.